Would you rat out your next door neighbor who you think is having an affair? Oh, now it's getting juicy. Now it's getting juicy on Drive Time with DeRusha. It's Jason. We're glad to have you with us on this Tuesday. 80 degrees today. Oh, but it's getting hot in here with our monthly visit from our friend Adrian Lee. Adrian, it's good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here. It's been a bit.
Was that too much of an intro for you? Was that too hot?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't until you said that, and then it got a little weird, but it was
I
fine.
mean, I just meant like the heat of this issue. This issue.
Oh, the question.
That's right. So you can visit with us online, watch on YouTube at the WCCO Radio YouTube channel, like and subscribe and all of that stuff. And then on top of it, we want your questions. So if you need advice on any aspect of your life, romantic, friendship, family, ask Adri. So send us a text at 763-44. Oh, that's my own personal phone number.
Definitely don't want to give that out this week.
No, not on the radio station. 651. How about that? Just my brain went into like give. Oh, if you're going to send me a text, here's my number.
Wait till I'm in for you next Friday, and then I'll give it out.
What on earth?
And then that's going to be Dan's Father's Day gift to you.
There you go.
651-461-9226. Now I would tell you to send us a voice message on the Odyssey app, but the app is down. Okay. Our app is down. So if
this just in.
Oh, yes.
The app issues have been resolved.
Has anyone ever sent one into the app anyways?
We do sometimes get voice messages when people can find the page.
Okay. Yeah.
Then they send us a voice. You can do that too if you're listening.
There you go.
Send it a question or a comment. So here is the conundrum that has been making international news. And I saw them talking about this on CBS this morning. So let me just say, if you are next door neighbors with Gayle King and you are cheating on your spouse, Gayle might rat you out.
She said she would. She would.
Well, there's a lot to this. So let me set it up. And this post is from the United Kingdom, where I didn't know there was this sort of scandal going on in London. I don't know. I just don't think of British people as like cheating on their spouses.
I think, have you heard of Henry VIII? That's kind of a thing. It's kind of their thing.
I thought it was just the kings and the queens. Woman says she lives next door to a couple. The wife is in her, I don't know why this matters. The wife is in her 30s. The husband's in his 40s. The husband does shift work. So 1 week a month, he leaves early evening and works into the following day. In recent months, she's noticed a couple times a week when the man is off at work, the lady gets picked up by a car, the same one. Gets picked up around 7 p.m. and doesn't return until closer to midnight, and the car will usually linger outside with the engine running in it as they are chatting. As the nights have gotten lighter, the woman and her partner have noticed that the wife's appearance has gotten flashier. She's always done up in makeup and wearing flattering outfits, like tight dresses and heels and whatever. She rarely appears like this at any other time when her partner is gone. So let's assume that these suspicions are right. We can make a million excuses, right, Adri? You could say, like, well, maybe they were friends. But, like, if you were next door, you would think.
I wouldn't assume, because as deep in her neighbor's business as she appears to
be. Very deep.
There's nothing super definitive. Like, you don't
it's
know.
Pretty definitive.
It's not. What if her neighbor is in, like, an open or poly relationship? That's a thing.
Sure.
What if it's just a friend? I like dressing up when I go out with my girlfriends.
If a guy came to pick you up only when your husband was off at work.
I didn't say it looks good.
I mean, so I would be a little concerned that they were in a consensual open relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, a one-sided open relationship is just cheating.
I thought the Youngs are all for these things.
Now. I'm not that young, I don't think. I'm in,
it's a different
in your
generation.
Yeah, that's a different thing. But, yeah. I mean, my honest answer is I just believe in the African American proverb of minding your business. Yeah. Because
is that
number one, it's an African American proverb. It's a way of life, really.
Yeah.
But I think number one, she doesn't know for sure. It looks,
correct.
It certainly looks bad.
Yeah.
But number two, like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of judgment, but not a lot of care, not a lot of relationship. So like, is she going to be there to support any fallout? Like, what if the lady gets kicked out? What if her husband freaks out and murders her? Like, I don't know if I can say that word on your show.
You can say, yeah, freaks out. That's
allowed. But like, all of that is very possible, and cheating is terrible, but like, the possibilities seem maybe more terrible.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, so if I were good friends with these neighbors, my answer might be different.
If you were good friends, then I would say talk to your friend.
That's right.
The woman.
That would be my move.
Yeah. Maybe you peer pressure her.
Yes.
To knock it off or to confess or whatever. But I still don't think your move is to go to the husband.
No.
No.
Like, I think if you go to the husband, look.
Also, what's he doing?
Going to work.
On the road.
He's going to work.
So he says.
I mean, you never know. You never know. But I admire the effort they put into, like, tracking and surveilling this situation.
I do. It sounds like retired behavior, for sure. That was a lot of time.
Well, this is what I'm going to do when I get older. This is why I want to move to the city. Like, in the suburbs, there's not enough density. I know, like, the urban activists really want more density. And my reason for that is more drama to observe in other people. In the suburbs, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I like that. Whatever motivation gets us more housing.
UGel on YouTube says, I would not say anything unless I'm in that household. I have no idea what the dynamic is. They may be in an open relationship. Texters at 651-461-9226. I would not rat out my neighbor. It's really none of my business. However, if it was with my wife, then I would call 811. You know what 811 is?
What is that?
That's the hotline you call before you dig.
Oh, my gosh. See? And that's why I said you shouldn't tell the husband, because of that guy right there. Thank you for validating that I gave the right response.
I just admire that this gent was thinking about, like, underground wires that might be buried, and he didn't want to cause a power outage when he dug the hole.
A very responsible murderer. We appreciate it.
She may be taking dance lessons, says a texter. If I don't like my neighbor, and I'm 100% sure they don't have a gun, I absolutely tell them, says a texter. I think you... So we've talked about this before, because I had a scenario where my college roommate discovered his wife cheating on him. He had a suspicion. He drove to the house of the guy that he thought she was cheating on him with. Small town where you know who the potential people are. And she was there and came out of the bedroom wearing his shirt. That's pretty good evidence, right? Perhaps they were doing a painting, like a painting project.
A painting. I love these little reminders you give me to never tell you my business, by the way. As you tell people's business on air.
But yeah. I said what I thought about that scenario, and they're still together today.
Yeah.
I think it's should not have said anything.
Were you asked?
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, whose fault is that then?
Still. Should have kept my mouth shut.
I mean, you would have if you didn't ask.
Well, he more just poured his heart out to me.
Oh.
And then I was trying to be supportive and say, like, well, you should leave her. You're young. You've only been together a little while. She cheated on you now. She's going to do it again. Yeah. And they're still married and happy. And.
But that's still a different situation, because there's a relationship.
You knew
all the people. You knew all the people. And it was so definitive. So clear.
Get door security cam video and send it to the wrong phone number, says a texter. I do think the move is to talk. You nailed it. Everyone's going in the wrong direction on this. Should you tell the husband? No. Could you open up a conversation with the potential cheater? If you're going to do anything, that would be the logical move.
I also just question again if it's about care or a love of mess, because somebody said, if I didn't like my neighbor, I would tell. And yeah, that's not like totally about doing the right thing then.
I do think, like, if I were in this situation, I would feel bad for the guy who doesn't know being cheated on, right? So, like, I can understand that being a pure motivation for some. This person didn't do anything. She just posted to a "Am I overreacting?" thread.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Good one to think about. Let's break. We're going to come back. I want to talk to you about blocking behavior, social media blocking behavior. When's it okay to block someone? In the meantime, I'm going to go to my Twitter account, at DeRushaJ, find a bunch of replies that I'm getting right now, and just block all of you guys. We'll do that when we come back. Drive Time, Ask Adri. Send in your relationship conundrums, your advice that you need. 651-461-9226. Ask Adri, our friend Adrian Lee with us. You can follow Adri. Where's the best place, would you say?
Substack.
Substack. It's Ask Adri
Anything.
A-D-R-I. Ask Adri Anything. And I'll put that link in a big old banner on our video stream.
Thank you.
So people can see that and then follow Ask Adri Anything on Substack. And that's where you wrote about this issue of blocking, about social media and when you should put up a boundary. I thought it was really interesting because it's a new world, right? Back when we were young, you could break up with someone and pretty much be done with them. And now it's a little more complicated, isn't it?
It definitely is. You have to actually be intentional. But I think it's worth it to be intentional. I think that, especially in the Midwest, I talked about how conflict avoidant we are, except on Twitter, where we're pro-conflict.
And this whole show exists. Just
But I think it's a profoundly conflict avoidant thing to sort of stay passively connected to people who you aren't in any meaningful connection with in real life. Obviously, there are going to be exceptions to that, like maybe it's an old teacher or something and you aren't probably going to ever interact again, but it's your only connection to them and it's a positive one, fine. But like being connected to random exes, their whole extended family, a friend you had a falling out with and never spoke to again, like I don't see the value, because if nothing else, you're giving them your attention, you're seeing their updates. I don't know. I kind of prefer the out of sight, out of mind. I'll avoid you in the grocery store if I ever see you.
Disconnect, unfriend, block if you need, you wrote. And then I really like this line. I wonder if you would say a little bit more about it. Boundaries are not beef. Endings are not feud.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've had people actually write to me or write to other people who have disconnected from them and say, like, what did I do? Are you upset with me? And the reality is like, sometimes you didn't do anything. I just want to be thoughtful about who I'm connected to, who I'm, you know, giving my attention to, especially online. We spend more time than we would like to on social media. So ideally, we want those connections to be relevant. And so, like, I don't think disconnection should always be seen as a negative or as an indication that there's any kind of animosity. Sometimes it's just the connection has run its course. And that's okay.
It took me a while to kind of get comfortable with that idea, because I've been on the internet so long and social media so long that there are a lot of people, early days that I was, back when social media was much smaller and you could have more in real life interactions with the people you had online. And one of those early sort of online friends that had crossed over into a real world friend, not close friend, but like small F friend, he blocked me. And when you discover it, I was like, we didn't have any negative interaction. I'm like, what happened? And it used to really bug me. And
well, you probably did something.
I think that he's in this group of people that you and I were talking about earlier today that politically can't stand me, which, you know, fine. And so some people, I think, aren't able to have a conversation with people they disagree with or just don't want to. And so the algorithm kind of pushes it into their feed. And so he just blocked me. And now I think, like, totally get it. Like, if that helps you live your life better, cool. Doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
But it took a bit to get there.
That's fair.
Yeah. Ask Adri at AskAdriAnything.com. Another question we got was about in-laws and siblings. And you wrote about that on your Substack. This is a really interesting, complicated relationship that some people have with their in-laws. And the scenario is basically that the question writer has three kids, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old, but only asks the 9-year-old to do stuff.
Yes.
And it's an in-law. It's not your mom. It's your mother-in-law. And how do you navigate that? It's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. I think that this question actually touched on some of what you were alluding to, which is like just the ability to sort of assess if there is either a tension in the relationship or an incompatibility in the relationship, and to be able to navigate that without sort of blowing things up. I think in this case, there was a number of different factors. The two younger siblings had some complex health needs and dietary, like, allergies, and the family was maybe just not wanting to deal with those. Older children are also often just easier to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's just a favorite situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, like, that's the great thing about clear boundaries, clear communication, if you're willing to do it, is you can say, like, hey, inclusivity, and I suggested this to the person who wrote in, inclusivity is a value to us. That extends to our family. Like, if you're going to invite one kid, with very few exceptions, invite them all. And also, like, the flip side of that is you can set your boundary, but it doesn't mean everyone has to be cool with it. Like, that might mean fewer invitations. So it's also, like, being adult enough to accept the push and pull of your boundaries.
I like it. Ask Adri anything. If you go to that Substack, there's an email. You can always text us with your questions, and we'll attack it next time. But give Adri a follow. Ask Adri anything at Substack.com. Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks for coming in. 4:30, we'll break in just a minute. Oh, I have complex emotions about a really tough decision that a local business owner had to come to. She's someone who's been on this show before. She started her own cupcake shop in Hopkins. But when you're a small business owner, sometimes you have to pick, am I going to take care of my own health or am I going to keep doing what I love doing? Oh, sometimes you got to choose. She did. We'll talk about it next. Amy Brace is with us again. She was on our show not long ago talking about her journey as part of a documentary with breast cancer survivors. We introduced her, and I first met Amy, as the owner of a cupcake shop and a bakery in downtown Hopkins. And just this week, the announcement came out that Amy is making a major change. And so we wanted to talk about it. Amy, it's nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell me what you announced just this week.
Oh, man. We've actually been working on this, I think, since November. So it feels surreal to actually have it here. But we announced that Angel Food Bakery is going to be the new owner of Amy's Cupcake Shop. So, yeah, just crazy.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice. You own the cupcake shop for 8 years, right?
9 years.
Nine years. And so much has happened over that time. COVID happened. Your breast cancer diagnosis. You had incredible success, incredible ups and downs, right?
Yeah, for sure. So through COVID, it went from, I mean, feeling like you're working, I know all small business owners will understand, but feeling like you're working 42 hours a day, trying to figure out how to make your business survive and how to get people to come and support your business in a way that is safe and all those kind of things. And we were grateful because we were a bakery that we got to stay open. But literally as soon as things were letting up, kind of in 2022, that October is when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I've gone through 18 rounds of chemo, 25 rounds of radiation. I just had my 10th surgery 3 weeks ago, and have another one coming up this winter. So I just went from keeping the business alive to keeping myself alive. And I just needed a break. The stress was getting to me, and I wasn't able to fully kind of recover and heal appropriately because I still had to take care of the business. You know, as a small business owner, you don't get to stop and say, hey, let me take a break. Can I take my disability? Is that... Nope, that's not how that works.
Right. You're the owner.
I think such a small business.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that maybe people don't always consider. And certainly for you as a younger, you know, business owner, like the reality is, it has to be heartbreaking to feel like you have to choose one. You have to choose one.
Yeah.
But you sort of do.
Well, and I had reached out to a couple of commercial brokers at first because people had recommended them to me. And it was just like all the things I didn't want to hear. It's like you can't choose the next owner. They're going to tear apart your business and do whatever they want with it. And it just felt so sad and so awful to me that I mean, I've been doing this business for 14 years now. We've been in our brick and mortar for 9, actually coming up on Saturday is our 9th anniversary. And to come to grips with the fact that somebody could literally come in and just do whatever they wanted with it felt so sad because I've worked so hard to create this beautiful space in Hopkins, and the community there has rallied around us from, I mean, literally the very beginning. And so I kind of gave up after a while. And then, I started asking a few people, and I'd ask Katie over Instagram, and she was like, actually, I think this might be wonderful.
And Katie Gertis from Angel
from
Food Bakery.
Angel Food. Yep, and she has a whole team in place, and the more we chatted about it, the better it sounded for everybody, and just that community of helping each other. And because it helps me, because now I can actually focus on my health and healing and all those kind of things. And I do have another surgery this winter coming up, so I'll be ready to take that on as well. Hopefully that'll be the last one for a while. In a beautiful community.
how did it feel, Amy, to find Katie and to have Katie say yes? What made you reach out to her?
We had actually met years ago at some wedding event that was at the Hutton House, actually. And I just remember chatting with her even for a few minutes, and I'm going, wow, we're very similar people. Like, we care about the essentials of baking, like baking from scratch and those kind of things. So whenever we have somebody ask for donuts, we're like, oh, go to Angel Food, you know, and it turns out whenever they had people asking for cake, they were referring us. So it was already kind of a symbiotic relationship that we didn't necessarily realize was happening already. And they have so many items that we don't have, and we have things that they don't have. And so it just kind of just organically grew into this friendship and relationship. And with her and her mom and their operations manager, it's just the more we chatted about it, the more it seemed like the right fit for all of us.
Her mom was one of the founders of Hell's Kitchen, great restaurant. Cynthia is just a terrific, they're both great. Like, they're really great. I don't know if you could find better stewards to kind of take over than that family.
And we've met a few times, and Cynthia, we've chatted, and they're just wonderful, wholesome people that want to do right by the business and take care of the staff and our customers. And I love that they understand that, because that's what keeps you going, you know, is your amazing customers and the community that supports you. And they understand that, and making good food, making food that's actually delicious and made from scratch. And when she said they still make everything from scratch there too, I was like, oh yeah, this is this is perfect. This is, it seems like we just have such a similar philosophy when it comes to food and nourishing souls through food. You know, that's one of the things I love the most about is making something and sharing it with somebody. It's a very much a form of love for me, is giving people treats or sharing something that I baked with them. So
Amy Brace is with us. Amy's Cupcake Shop is what she founded. Angel Food Bakery will take it over. The name will change eventually to Angel Food. Has Katie and her team taken over already? Are you done? Do you get time to focus on yourself, Amy?
I do. Yeah, they actually took it over on June 1st. And it sounds like we're going to kind of go, or they, I guess, are going steady as she goes with Amy's Cupcake Shop for now. So it won't be changing too soon.
But, it's hard to say they, isn't it? I mean, all these years
of
we.
Yes,
I get it. I still talk about Channel 4 sometimes as we, and it's not we anymore. It's them.
Yeah. And even when I'm introducing myself, it's like Amy of Amy's Cupcake Shop. Like, I still had it. It's fine. Not mine anymore, but I still did it.
Well, Amy, just congratulations on everything. We know your medical journey has been a struggle and a challenge. And certainly your work in being a part of a documentary to shine a light on the issue of severe stage 4 breast cancer is so important. But we just want you to take care of yourself, and how cool that a little piece of your legacy will continue right there in downtown Hopkins. Sure needed that, right? I think we're past that, right? We're beyond. They're saying we could get two more inches of rain. My backyard, when you walk through the yard, I was walking through the yard to pull some weeds the other day. It's just, I don't even know how to make the sound. That sound when your feet, like, you know, that little mushy sound. You know, a better producer would have helped me out there. You would have made the sounds. What are you doing? You just sit there and, like, watch me. You're like, let's see what idiotic noise this moron makes.
That's exactly. How far out on that limb are you going to go?
Yeah, it's more like that. That's how it is. Terry Moran got fired. ABC News correspondent. Chad asked me earlier this week what I thought should happen, and I thought that he shouldn't have been fired, but I thought suspending him was appropriate. Terry Moran is a veteran correspondent. He was the anchor of Nightline for a while. He was a senior correspondent. He's written quite a bit about why Donald Trump was elected, why he was so popular. In fact, many of his earlier posts on Twitter that you would say fits into news analysis, which, you know what? The world would be better if every mainstream media journalist just zipped it on analysis. And I know people disagree with me, but you only disagree with me if the mainstream media is saying crap that you agree with. So you could take your sanctimony about, you don't want the media to tell the truth, Jason? No, I want reporters to report. And if you're going to go down the road of analysis, I would advise you not to post that analysis after midnight on a Friday. It's just not a good idea. And also, even dumber, Terry Moran's contract expires on Friday. So look, I've been in a contract negotiation or two in my life. And let me tell you what I do not do when you're in a contract negotiation. I don't post crazy stuff on social media. Now, how much time do I have left here on this radio station? 1 year. Not in this segment. Cook's trying to figure out. Like, you got 2 minutes.
2 minutes and 20 seconds.
So I have 1 year left, almost exactly, on my deal here at the station. And I'll guarantee you, when this show starts just doing rainbows and unicorns and puppies all the time, you'll be like, I bet DeRusha's in a contract negotiation right now. Like, you got to protect your bag, Terry Moran. So stupid.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
You know what today is?
Yes, it's Twins Ticket Tuesday. My God. You know, we got our Well, tell me more, Dan. What else should I know?
You had resolved
you
the Terry
done?
Moran thing, and so we could move
done
on
enough, done
to
enough.
Inform the people.
Don't say dumb stuff when your contract's up.
Don't do that. That's a bad idea. But what you should do when you hear the Win Twin sounder.
What, Terry Moran's going to be broke. He should probably try to win
some
tickets.
Maybe want to get some free tickets, right? Be call number three when you hear the Win Twin sounder, not now.
You know, a lot of people, if you just read the word Moran, you're like, moron.
Well, there's that.
So what happens when you hear the sounder?
When you hear that sounder, you'd be calling number three and you get a 4-pack of tickets to see the Twins versus Seattle Mariners.
When is that?
Monday, June the 23rd. It's a 6:40 p.m. first pitch.
Okay.
And, of course, you want to get there because the Twins and the Mariners have been playing some very entertaining games this year. And you want to be there for the next one as they're going to host Seattle for a 4-game series beginning on that Monday,
Maybe
June
it 23rd. Won't rain. Maybe it won't rain.
You never know. They've had a bad run with the weather this year.
Yes, they have. The Saints.
But I don't want to hear this, well, they should have built a retractable roof.
Oh,
yeah, you know what? If you ding-dongs in now greater Minnesota would have chipped in some money and not made all us residents of Hennepin County pay for it, then maybe we could have had a retractable roof. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The biggest whiners about the retractable roof are the people who aren't chipping in even a nickel.
Exactly. And I get it. You know, it's a long trek to get down here, you know, for a
lot
of folks.
Well, you made the choice to live in Podunk.
The choice not to pay for it. So, sorry.
But, hey, we'd love to have you win those
tickets.
Yeah,
but you can win some tickets anyway.
Dear Rush Hour News headlines coming up. The lead will go a little deeper on the new cannabis tax. So, you know, toke up, get yourself ready, and we'll deal with it coming up after Susie Jones here on CCO.